are your knees? A bit sore? Well, you're not alone, and the problem's getting worse.
The number of knee replacements that will be required in the US is forecast to increase by over 500% in the next two decades, which is just a crazy number. I mean, that's going from around 600,000 implants in the US at the moment to well over 3 million. And there aren't simply aren't enough orthopedic surgeons to put that many in.
Nick Scare is the CEO of a British company called Orthox. So why are our knees giving out like never before?
We're living longer, we're wanting to stay active in our old age longer, but we're also, conversely, we're getting heavier. The more mass you have in your body, the more weight you put through your knee joints, and the faster your cartilage will wear out. So it's a perfect storm of contributing factors that lead to the current epidemic of joint disease that exists, and the knee joint is the one that's leading the way, effectively. It's the one that undergoes the most punishment and the one that has the most problems. There are more knee replacements implanted now in the UK than there are hip replacements, to give you some idea, and knee replacements are the highest grossing medical device in the US at the moment. So it's an absolutely huge clinical problem, and one where surgeons need alternative strategies to head it off before it gets to the point where a knee replacement is required.
And some of those alternative strategies could come from spiders and silkworms.
What we've got is an implant which is based on a protein that we extract from silk fibre, and the unique features about the implant are that it combines being a functional replacement for the tissue that's lost, the cartilage tissue that's been damaged and is removed by the surgeon, with being a tissue regenerative implant that allows the patient's own cells over time to grow into the implant, deposit new cartilage tissue, and therefore end up with a composite between the very tough, resilient properties of the implant itself and the patient's own tissue. And that gives you something which is obviously a very different prospect to the current standard of care, which is replacing the damaged tissue and a considerable amount of the underlying bone and surrounding tissues with a large metal or plastic implant.
And my understanding is the recovery from a knee replacement, it can be a fairly hard road.
Yeah, my uncle's just had one, and that was just over a year ago. He's still got pain. He's still having physiotherapy, and he's pretty typical for a knee replacement individual. I mean, essentially, to have a knee replacement, you're looking at an incision of about a foot long, covering, you know, from well above the knee joint to quite far down the shin. Opening that up, taking out a large amount of bone stock, quite often most of the soft tissue in the joint, and banging in and cementing in place an implant which weighs several hundred grams up to a kilo of metal and plastic. So that is an invasive surgical procedure in every sense of the word, and you are not going to recover from that swiftly. No matter how good your metabolism is, how low your pain thresholds are or high your pain thresholds are, all the rest, that's going to take a considerable period of time to recover from. And obviously that's not what people want. They want to be back to work quickly, back to sport quickly, all the rest of it. So it does leave a lot to be desired.
So your technology is essentially harnessing the properties of silk. And when we think about silk, silk is essentially made from silkworms, isn't it? Is that the origin of the product you're using?
Yeah, that's spot on. So silk, as we know it in shirts and ties and also in silk suture threads, which are used in medicine at the moment, is all from the mulberry silkworm, which is a caterpillar that spins itself a cocoon in which it pupates to become the moth. And that's what we use as our raw material. But silks are produced by a very, very wide range of different invertebrates. The ones which are perhaps the headline grabbers are the spiders, and that's because their silks are so incredibly tough and strong. Spider silk is up to 25 times as tough as high tensile steel weight for weight, which is pretty extraordinary given that you are talking about that material being manufactured by the spider at room temperature, at pressure, and just from protein. Spiders are, if you like, the greatest of the bioengineers, but silkworms are pretty good. And what we've done is to emulate some of those tricks that the spider uses when they spin their webs and generate that incredibly high tensile strength in their fibers in our implants when we manufacture them from the silkworm silk.
Oh, right. So you're using the silkworm silk, and then you've got some sort of extrusion spinning process that gives it this strength, that adds this structure to it, that makes it so resilient?
Yeah, so it's not an extrusion process, actually. It's closer to injection molding. But what we do is something that's a sort of a combination of injection molding and good old-fashioned wet chemistry. But those processes in the molding are essentially taken from our understanding of how spiders process their silk fibers. And what that leads to is a very high degree of molecular alignment in the silk molecules in our implants, and that high degree of molecular alignment gives a very large number of what are known as hydrogen bonds, and those hydrogen bonds are what underlie the great toughness in our implants, which is exactly what you find in cartilage. Close alignment of protein molecules and a very high degree of resilience and toughness in the tissue.
And the demand for knee replacements is often caused by that cartilage being essentially perishing, overuse, it gets pounded, it's a pivot point, and that can start quite young in a person's life. Take me through then how I would use your silk-based implant compared to a knee implant. We've gone through that process that essentially you're hacking off a large amount of bone, replacing that whole joint with a metal joint. How would a surgeon or someone work with one of your implants?
So there's a very different process in using one of our implants. The first thing to say is that obviously the metal knee replacement surgery is only something that a surgeon or a patient would consider when their knee has deteriorated to a fairly considerable degree. And the average age in the UK for a total knee replacement is 68. Now, you're absolutely spot on again in saying that cartilage damage can happen very young in a patient's life. You can have an acute cartilage injury in your teens. And because cartilage is very poor at healing, then that acute injury tends to spread. The lesion develops and deteriorates, and it's entirely well known that patients can have osteoarthritis, which is the condition that develops when you've damaged your cartilage, as young as their early 30s or even late 20s. And there's nothing really to be done for those patients at the moment. There are a few treatments out there, but they're not universally demonstrated to be effective, and that's partly because cartilage is so poor at healing, but also because, as you say, the joint and the cartilage is subject to such an incredible amount of wear and mechanical force. You put 8 times your body weight through your knee joint when you go jogging, so you can understand just exactly what the kind of mechanical stresses that cartilage in the knee is subjected to. So what our implant looks like and what the surgical procedure would be is that instead of you being opened up from halfway up your shin until halfway up your thigh, you would have a small incision between a centimeter and about 3 centimeters, depending on the size of the lesion. The implant would be cut to the size of the defect in the cartilage in your knee. It would be inserted through the small incision, and then it would be fixed in place in almost all cases by what's known as arthroscopic technique. That's keyhole surgery. So fixed in place by these instruments that are available for keyhole surgery, and then the incision is closed, and you would be, in most cases, again, allowed to go home the same day and have a fairly normal rehabilitation regime following the implantation. So that would be to say that you would be advised to be non-load-bearing for sort of 3 to 4 weeks, resume gentle activity for the next 3 to 4 weeks, and be returning to full activity within a couple of months.
So where are you at currently with these implants? Have you got patients with the implants in their knees?
So we've just initiated our first clinical trial of our implants here in the UK. We've got a small patient study in Bristol, and we're waiting for our first patient to be implanted at the moment.
And this biocompatibility, why is it so biocompatible? Is it the fact you've got this sort of this silk protein, and what is it about that silk protein that allows human cells to sort of grow into it?
Not all proteins are biocompatible by any stretch of the imagination, and to be honest, then the fact that silk proteins appear to be so biocompatible is probably just good luck from our side. But what we do know is that silk protein that we're working with has very close molecular homology. That means it's very similar in structural terms to a protein which is found abundantly in cartilage called fibronectin. Fibronectin, human fibronectin, is the second largest component of cartilage, and our silk protein is very similar to that protein, and we believe that may well be what underlies the capacity of our implants to engender tissue regeneration and the deposition of new cartilage.
Well, that's pretty exciting stuff, isn't it? How long do you see, I mean, if your trials go okay down in Bristol, how long before this is going to be offered as an option for patients presenting to surgeons and doctors throughout the world?
Well, orthopedics is unfortunately a notoriously slow business, because you are talking about long lead times, because you've got to demonstrate that the implants don't fall apart and that they stay in place. So it's not a 3-week clinical trial by any stretch of the imagination. What we'll do is these first 10 patients, and that will be a year follow up. So we'd be expecting then to move into a much larger clinical trial to gain market approval for the implants sometime in the end of 2016, early 2017, and market approval would hopefully be about 3 to 3.5 years from now. So we're talking around the end of 2018, early 2019, for the implants to be available to surgeons to implant in patients.
Nick Scare, and he is the chief executive of Orthox.